لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. اللهم إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين وعليك نتوكل وإليك ننيب. Oh Allah, we worship you and we seek your help. Oh Allah, in you we trust and to you we return. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Abdul Rahman ibn Hubayd narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 10 people will be in paradise. And then he counted who will be in paradise. He said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, wa Umar fil Jannah, wa Uthman fil Jannah, wa Zubayr wa Ali fil Jannah, wa Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, wa Talha ibn Ubaydullah, wa Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, وأبو عبيدة ابن الجراح وسعد ابن أبي وقاص. People who listen to the hadith as the narrator, he said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 10 people will be in paradise and he only mentioned 9. We ask you in the name of Allah, who is the 10th person who will be in paradise? The narrator said, he asked me in the name of Allah, Abu al-Awar fil Jannah. That is, the narrator himself is in paradise. Out of his humbleness and humility, he will not count himself among the people that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said they will be in paradise. Dear Muslims, today, inshallah, very briefly, we'll go over the highlights of the 10 people given the glad tidings to enter paradise. And we'll shed some more light on one of them. All of us are familiar with the 4 caliphs, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. They will be in paradise. Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, he is the husband of Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him Hawari, disciple. إِنَّ لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ حَوَارِي إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ حَوَارِي وَحَوَارِي أُمَّتِي الزُّبَيْرُ بْنِ الْعَوَّامِ. For every ummah, for every nation, there be a disciple. And the disciple of my ummah is الزُّبَيْرُ بْنِ الْعَوَّامِ. طلحة ibn Ubaydullah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a special title. His title was Al-Shaheed Al-Hay, the Shaheed, the martyr who is alive. By definition, the Shaheed, the martyr, is somebody who gave his life for the sake of Allah. But this person was called Shaheed even though he was still alive and walking on earth. This is because he defended the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Uhud when the people ran away, and as a result he was paralyzed. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf is another Sahabi. Giving the glad tidings to enter paradise. A very, very rich Sahabi. However, he remembered in his mind and his heart that whatever wealth he has is from Allah Almighty. And every time he accumulates some wealth, he would give it for the sake of Allah. And Allah will give him more. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah is another Sahabi giving the glad tidings to enter paradise. The Messenger of Allah gave him another special title. إِنَّ لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَمِينٌ وَأَمِينُ أُمَّتِي أَبُو عُبَيْدَةٍ إِبْنِ الْجَرَّاحِ. For every ummah, there is a person who is trustworthy. And the trustworthy person in my ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Sa'id ibn Zayd, the narrator of the hadith, who refused to mention his name as one of the 10 people giving the glad tidings to enter paradise, you may be familiar with him. He was the person behind Umar ibn al-Khattab embracing Islam. When he was teaching his sister, the sister of Umar, and when Umar showed up, he was hiding behind the curtain. And then he recited the beginning verses of Surah Taha for Umar, and as a result, Umar embraced Islam. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, another Sahabi given glad tidings to enter paradise, is the person who will shed some light on. His mother is Hamna bint Sufyan, and his grandfather is Uhayb ibn Abd Manaf, the uncle of Amina, the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him Khali, Hadha Khali, this is my uncle. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is my uncle. He embraced Islam at the age of 17. He was the first person to throw an arrow for the sake of Allah. And the first person to be hit with an arrow for the sake of Allah. He has two special qualities that he says about himself. The first quality is, if he throws an arrow, it never misses its target. And the second quality is, if he makes a dua to Allah, it's always accepted. He tells us how he embraced Islam. He said, I saw a dream, and I saw myself in the darkness of the night, one night. And far away I saw like a moon. And I start walking toward that moon. This is the only light in this dark night. And there I saw Abu Bakr and Umar and Zayd ibn Haritha. I took this as a sign that Allah wants to take me from darkness to light, from Jahiliyyah to Islam. When I woke up, I went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I embraced my Islam. I declared my Shahada. There are a number of lessons that we learn from the story of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, from the story of his life. The first lesson is the first test that he went through when he embraced Islam. And it is a very difficult test that most of us go through on a daily, weekly, or yearly basis. When he embraced Islam, his mother confronted him. And she said, Oh Sa'd, what is this religion that you're following, leaving behind the religion of our fathers and grandfathers? If you do not revert, Sa'd, if you do not revert now, I will stop eating and drinking until I die. And if I die, you will feel very bad that you let your mother die because of this religion. And people will always look down at you and point the fingers at you. This is the person that let his mother die because he will not change his mind and his heart. Sa'd has to make a difficult decision. A decision between the culture and Islam. A decision between what his mother and his parents would love to do and what his heart and his mind would love to follow. Sa'd did not hesitate. He told his mother, Wallahi ummi inni la uhibbuk. I swear by Allah, O my mother, I love you very much. وَلَكِنِّي أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ But my love for Allah and His Messenger is more than my love to you. This is a very important yardstick that you and I ought to hold and measure with. Because quite often we have to choose between the culture, the tradition, which is in contradiction with Islam, and Allah and His Messenger. And the answer is very clear. And that is to tell that person, be it a father, a wife, a husband, a relative, that I do not do this because I am intimidating or insulting the culture. He said, I love you, O my mother. However, our love for Allah and His Messenger should be more than the love of the culture, the tradition, and the ego. This is the first lesson that we learn from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Who should we love the most? Allah and His Messenger, or the culture, traditions, the egos, which is in contradiction with the religion. The second lesson that we learn from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is the reason why he was qualified to enter paradise. And it is a total surprise to many of us. Why he qualified to enter paradise. And listen to the reason why. Anas ibn Malik narrated that we were sitting in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it would enter from this door a man who will be in paradise. The companion said, we waited anxiously. Who is the first person to enter from this door who will be in paradise? And it happened to be Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. On the second day and the third day, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the same thing. And the person happened to be Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. One Sahabi was very curious, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. He said, I wanted to find out why is Sa'd qualified to enter paradise? So I asked him if I can stay with him in his house for 3 nights. And my intention is to observe his behavior, his actions, to see what is he doing different that qualified him to enter paradise. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said, I observed him for 3 nights. And I did not see anything extra he's doing. He wakes up in the middle of the night, he makes his istighfar, and he goes back to sleep. No tahajjud prayer. He wakes up for the fard prayer. When it is the daytime, he's not fasting. He's not doing any voluntary fasting. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As said, I deleted his actions. No extra prayer, no extra fasting. And he's qualified to enter paradise. So I asked him, I hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that you are qualified to enter paradise. And for 3 nights I observed your actions and behavior and nothing is different, nothing is extra. So Sa'd told him, ما هو إلا الذي رأيت. It was only what he saw. There's nothing extra I'm doing. With one exception, and that is, I do not find in my heart سُوءًا لِأَحَدٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنِّي لَأَجْدُ فِي نَفْسِي سُوءًا لِأَحَدٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ I do not find in my heart any feeling, any ill feeling for any Muslim brother or sister. وَلَا أَنْوِي لَهُ شَرًّا And even if I carry some ill feelings, I do not intend to harm him or her. وَلَا أَقُولَ Even if I intend something, I do not act upon it by doing it or saying. 3 stages that Sa'd radiallahu anhu outlines for us. And those three stages qualified Sa'd to enter paradise. First is to carry no ill feeling for any Muslim brother or sister. This might be difficult for some of us, because life is busy, it is stressful, and for some reason or another we would carry some feeling for a brother or sister. Come the second stage. If you carry an ill feeling for a brother or sister, then do not translate this feeling into a strong intention to harm him or her, either by your tongue or physically, or to stop supporting him or her, or to stop about asking him or her, or feeling happy for his happy moments and feeling sad for his sad moments. And the third stage is, if you intend to harm him or her, then do not translate the intention into action. Do not go and pick up the phone and start backbiting him to act upon your evil intention. Do not write a letter or start gossiping about him or her. Three stages that qualify Sa'd to enter paradise. First, carry no feeling in his heart. Second, intending no evil. And third, not speaking the intention or acting upon it. The third lesson that we learn from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu is about his quality. The quality that anytime he makes dua to Allah, Allah accepts his dua. What is so unique about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu that made his dua acceptable? And Sa'd shares this with us. And that is when he asks the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, ask Allah to make my dua accepted. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that one of the conditions for the dua to be accepted. It applies to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and it applies to all of us. And that is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يُقِيبَ مَطْعَمَهُ. Allah will not accept the dua of any of his servants until his source of income is halal. How do we know that the source of income is halal? How do we know that the sustenance is halal? A very simple test that costs nothing. And that test is built inside each one of us. And that is the heart. Consult the heart. The test says, الإثم ما حاك في صدرك وكرهت أن يطرئ عليه الناس. The evil is that which wavers in your heart. And you hate people finding out about it. What does this do? What does it have to do with the source of income? We ask ourselves, each one of us, between myself, and between yourself and yourself, is there any uncomfortable feeling in your heart about what you're doing, about the business you're involved in, about your transactions? And the second test is, do you feel uncomfortable with people finding out what you do? If people find out about what you do, your source of income, will you be embarrassed? Will you have to justify? A very simple test to know whether the source of income is lawful or unlawful. And it is a condition for the dua to be accepted. The fourth lesson that we learn from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu is the importance of the family. He got sick and he was visited by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. and Sa'd thought that he will die as a result of his sickness. So he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I have a daughter and I have money. Do I give all of it for the sake of Allah?" The Messenger of Allah said no. He said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, do I give half of it for the sake of Allah?" The Messenger of Allah said no. He said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, how about 2/3? He said no. He said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, how about 1/3 of it for the sake of Allah?" He is worried that he will die and he wants to do as much hasanat as he can before he dies. The Messenger of Allah told him, "As-thuluth was-thuluth kathir." Yes, he can give 1/3 for the sake of Allah, and even 1/3 is plenty. Then he tells him why. Why did he forbid him from giving all his money for the sadaqah, for the charity? He said, "If you leave your family in a good financial condition after your death, it is much better for them than if you leave them in a very bad financial condition and they keep begging people for money after your death." This does not just apply for money or inheritance. It applies for knowledge. It applies for the time we spend with our family. Quite often we think, "By serving Islam at the cause of my family, I'm doing Islam a favor." On the contrary, you're not doing Islam a favor. It does not make any sense for you to spend day and night and then coming home at night and the kids and the wife or the husband is sleeping. And you say, "Alhamdulillah, I spend all..." "My dear, for the sake of Allah and my family is sleeping." Our family, the husband, the wife, the children, have as much right on us as Islam has on us. And Allah Almighty reminds in the Quran, "Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran wa quduha an-nas wal hijara." That is, protect yourself, not just yourself, and your family from a fire its fuel is men and stones. Do not be like the candle that gives light to the people, gives guidance to the people, while burning itself. In the end, it vanishes. But be like the sun, the moon, that gives light and guidance to the people. At the same time, it benefits itself. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي لا إله غيره ولا رب سواه. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Few lessons that we learn from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas رضي الله عنه. First, our love for Allah and His Messenger should be above our love for anything else and everything else. Second, the importance of the heart, the cleanness of the heart, and the relationship between each other. What qualified Sa'd to enter paradise was not the extra prayer, the extra fasting. It was the fact that he carries no ill feeling in his heart for any Muslim brother or sister. Third, the importance of verifying that the source of income is a lawful source. Because for the dua to be accepted, the source of the income has to be lawful. And last but not the least, the importance of taking care of the family, be it financially or religiously, or even the time we spend with them. There should be a balance between our dedication, our commitment to this religion, and our dedication, our commitment to our family. A balance. A balanced religion for a balanced ummah. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا بيننا ولا منا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها. اللهم انصر المجاهدين في فلسطين وفي كشمير وفي الشيشان وفي كل أرض وتحت كل سماء. اللهم اصلح ذات بينهم ووحد كلمتهم وانصرهم على أعدائهم. اللهم هذا الدعاء ومنك الإجابة. اللهم هذا الجهد عليك التكلان ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. واقم الصلاة.